This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly for the win on the BetRivers Network.
Hi, everybody. It's Simon Holden here for the win, another edition of the superb, groundbreaking Bet Rivers Network Golf Podcast. And I'm joined by Duncan Campbell. Now, we're usually joined by Duncan and Neil Campbell from the wonderful Golf Betting Club. However, Neil Campbell, I can say, sadly, is in therapy and has been for over a week now. It's all right laughing, Duncan. This is your brother. Because he bet on this podcast was all over Scottie Scheffler, her man for that tour championship, who at one stage had a five-shot lead. And then he didn't, Duncan, did he? And then he replaced the five-shot lead with a six-shot lead. And I'm afraid Neil's tears... he then lost out to Rory McIlroy late on. And we've got to say, Duncan, very, very quickly, it was a great bet from Neil. But Scottie Scheffler has got to be damaged by this. He has blown... I mean, he won $6 million for finishing second. And one of the best tweets of the weekend was a picture of Scottie Scheffler on the 18th green with Rory in the background celebrating with his caddy and fans. And the picture just said underneath, "Have you ever seen a man who's just won $6 million look so depressed?" And I think the world has to answer back no. So, I mean, what an incredible finish to the Tour Championship.
It was, you know, it's one of those events that I don't particularly like. I don't like the handicap system. I think I said that on the show that we did 2 weeks ago. But it actually did provide some excitement, which was, you know, it was a surprise. Neil actually made up for his Scottie Scheffler love at the start of the week. He actually tipped Rory McIlroy to win it in our in-play vlog on the Sunday morning. So, you know, Neil redeemed himself and then went on holiday and he's never been seen since. So, you know, he's left home on the court.
Yeah, he's returned the I Love Scottie Scheffler mug. But there you go. Now, folks, this week we have one event. And if you ever focus on a DP World Tour event, then let it be this week, because it is the BMW PGA. It's the flagship event of the whole year. And it's at Wentworth, the brilliant Parkland course designed by Harry Cole. It's a par 72. It was updated stroke ruin, depending on who you talk to, by Ernie Els recently. In fact, one of the members said, "The members and the professionals are divided. Some of them don't like the changes and some of them absolutely hate them." So that was the divide. But Ernie came back the next year. And it's very, very important we talk about this, because it's made it a very different betting proposition. So the fun starts on Thursday here at Wentworth. I'm only about 5 miles from the course. In fact, I've stolen Puckenham's hat, but more of that lately. But we don't condone thieving on this podcast. But now, Duncan, this is an absolutely amazing event. I want to touch on the LIV Golfers, because I think in terms of betting, they provide a huge side issue and sideshow in a way to the whole tournament, because we have 17 or 18 of them here this week. They've all turned out in force. The three balls are out for the first day. They are going to be integrated in the mix. They've not been invited to play the Pro-Am on Wednesday, but we've got some big names like Patrick Reed, Poulter and Westwood turning up. Now, let's deal with them first. Now, we have a stellar field and we'll talk about that soon. But anybody wanting to bet these players, do you think they're going to be in the right frame of mind to do the business here at Wentworth?
I think it's a really interesting one. I don't think you can talk about this tournament without talking about this issue. I think that there's a lot of players who may get frosty receptions from a number of European Tour players. I think that when they walk into the locker room, you know, they're not going to get the friendly hello that they might be expecting. They might well get a few cold shoulders. Now, if you're not used to that, then, you know, that's something that I think you're going to have to adjust to. And whether the Liv players keep to themselves this week and, you know, maybe have dinner together or maybe chat amongst themselves, that, you know, that remains to be seen. But I certainly think that those players who aren't used to that kind of frosty reception from their fellow players, I think that is something to be factored in. And I think if one of them gets into contention on Saturday and Sunday, I think that's when we really start to see the focus and the spotlight being put on those players. And it's a question of how do they handle that? How do they handle that media scrutiny when the pressure's on? And undoubtedly, it will be extra pressure and extra media attention if they are near the lead.
Yeah, I would be avoiding them myself, but we'll come to that. Now, BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook and the only sportsbook you need for all your golf wagering needs. They go a 50-odd seven places, so you can back the winner and still have six chances to win on this event. Now, we're going to look at the front of the market first. We're going to look at who Duncan thinks is the most likely winner. We're going to look at those mid-range prices, and then we're going to unleash the Duncan Factory on you all and rain down some big price bombs. Now, this tournament has featured big price winners, but you're of the belief since Ernie L's got his hands meddling on this redesign that has actually changed, Duncan, haven't you? And that this is something that now favours the better players and is maybe not the tournament of shocks it once was.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's entirely right. I think, like you said before, we had some real big price winners in this event. But what we've seen in the last 5 years is the favourites coming to the fore. You know, if you look at the world ranking of the last five winners, it's 28, 15, 60, 33 and 13. And even the player who was ranked 60th in the world, that was Danny Willett. You know, a Masters champion, multiple winner on tour, a real proven performer who just was slightly lower down the rankings at that time. So really, we're looking for someone who has been there, bought the T-shirt, a real proven performer. And I think the other thing worth saying about Wentworth is that six of the last seven winners had posted a top eight finish prior to winning. So, you know, playing the course well, having shown that you can play the course well and being a top player, you know, that's really what I'm looking at this week. And I think there's some great each-way opportunities, but I do think the winner comes from near the front of the market.
Right. Well, let's look at that front of the market. I can say the course is going to be playing long, wet, and the rough will be thick. So you're going to have to drive the ball well this week, and you're going to have to be in the right places on these tricky fairways. Now, Rory McIlroy, he comes here as the king of the world with the Tour Championship in his back pocket. If you are short of money and you are traveling to the tournament, he is the man to go to ask for taxi fare home. The man is that loaded. So go to Rory. I'll be there on Friday. Do not ask me.
Surely it's one of the Liv guys, isn't it?
Well, yeah, he's nearly as wealthy as the lowest Liv guy there. Now, that's how much coin he's got. Now, Rory is 5-1 favourite with Bet Rivers here. We've got John Rahm, who was second last time he played at Wentworth, at 8-1. He'll be very popular. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick, the US Open champion, on his first UK appearance, or first DP World Tour appearance since then in Britain, at 10-1. We've got Shane Lowry, always popular in these events, at 14s. Victor Hovland, the slightly back-to-form Norwegian at 18, who's already been well bet this week. And we've got Tommy Fleetwood at 25s. We've then got last year's winner, Billy Horschel, at 25s. The resurgent Adam Scott, 25s, and Tyrell Hatton, the man who lit this place up during COVID, one of the best iron play performances I have ever seen in my life, at 25-1. So, Duncan, I'm going to start off and say we've got a plethora of world stars here. We've got, I think, the greatest field that's ever assembled for this event. I know it's a major claim, but I really do think that this year. And I'm just going to put it to you, who is the most likely winner? Who's going to win this week? A very easy question to start with, Duncan.
I'm glad you started with an easy one.
Yeah, wait till the second one.
I've got to say that the man I like the most this week is Rory McIlroy. And I know that's an obvious answer to give, but I think there's so much going for Rory this week. I think, firstly, that the fact that you mentioned it's going to be slightly wet this week. There's a lot of rain forecast up until the start of the tournament. I think that, firstly, that plays into Rory's hands. Fantastic driver of the golf ball, will be able to use his length to his advantage. And really eat up those par fives. The second thing I like about Rory is that he's a course winner, And the last two starts have yielded a runner-up finish and a ninth place finish. So it ticks the course form box as well. And the third thing I like about Rory this week is that the Live guys are here. Now, Rory's been the kind of staunch defender of the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, for that matter. And if you cast your mind back to the Canadian Open, when Rory McIlroy wanted to surpass Greg Norman's PGA Tour victories, he went and did it. He was exceptional that week. He held off Justin Thomas, played some fantastic golf, some of the best golf we've seen from Rory all season. And he was really at it that week. And I think we see a similar Rory this week. I think we see a Rory McIlroy who wants to go out and prove that he's the top dog and the Liv guys will not beat him. And I think that Rory will be there or thereabouts come Sunday afternoon.
I think you make a fascinating point there, Duncan. Now, earlier on in his career, perhaps a more immature Rory didn't fare well at Wentworth and was quite vocal in the fact that he didn't like the place. There was a dreadful rumour one year that when he was on the cut line, he, how can I put it, made sure he had the weekend off. Now, I say allegedly. Now, the interesting thing is, I think since the Liv appeared, which is obviously something that's driven him mad, we've seen a very focused Rory. And one of the best quotes I saw on Twitter at the weekend was somebody who said, Rory says that Liv golf is the worst thing to happen to golf, but it could be the best thing that's happened to him this year because it's focused him. And he comes here really angry about the fact that so many players are here and he is going to want to give them a bloody nose. He has finally worked out how to play this place. And the Ernie Els redesign, as what's been called the Americanization of Wentworth, certainly has turned it into a course that suits Rory more. If it is wet, it's going to play long. And we know his driving of the ball, particularly in Atlanta, was some of the stats were off the margins. When you see him playing in two balls with people like Scottie Scheffler and knocking it 40 yards by them, you are seeing something that we've rarely seen. So 5-1 is going to prove to be very, very popular. Billy Horschel, tremendous record here. He battled to victory here last year. He started well. He wobbled over the weekend, but he produced an incredible back nine on Sunday to get this one done. Now, he's not come in the greatest form, but he didn't come in the greatest form last year. And I think he can draw on those memories, whether he can beat Rory. But do you think 25-1's fair for Billy?
It's not a bet that I want to have personally. I think he's got a chance. I'm not going to dismiss his chances because I think it's clear how much he loves Wentworth by the fact that he's won here once and finished fourth on his debut. So, you know, top fours from two appearances shows just how much he likes the UK. He loves West Ham and being around, you know, the West Ham players and fans. So I think there's a lot to like about Billy this week, but I actually used Billy as a bit of a benchmark and compared him to Patrick Reed this week. And, you know, I don't think there's that much between Billy Horschel and Patrick Reed in terms of course form, in terms of the type of player that they are, and recent form as well. I know Patrick Reed's been playing on the Live Tour, but I don't think there's much between those two this week. And I was quite surprised at the price disparity between Horschel and Reed. And for that reason, I couldn't take Horschel and I was slightly leaning towards Patrick Reed. He would be my preferred of the two at a much bigger price.
Yeah, that's interesting because my view of the most likely winner looking at the top of the market is Tyrrell Hatton at 25-1. As I said earlier, Manu absolutely lit up this place. Anybody who can go to YouTube and see the highlights of when Hatton won. I know it was behind closed doors as such, but it was an absolutely scintillating display of golf. He's famous for being the incredible sulk and all these things. If he keeps a lid on himself and draws on that, I think that's massive. And on a similar view to you, Dunk, with the Patrick Reed value against Billy, 40-1 against 25s, I'm going to say to you that Hatton proven here. I also think that the wet weather will mean the ball will be stopping and he can fire it at the pins like he did when he won. 25-1 against Shane Lowry at 14s. That, to me, makes Shane Lowry an absolutely awful value and tells me that Hatton is too big at 25. So it's interesting that I've taken a similar theory to you and benchmarked two players. And I think when you do that, you start to explore value at the top of the market. So let's look at some mid-range players. I think I'm all over Hatton at the top. You think Rory, the king of the world at the moment, he's going to provide Greg Norman with another sleepless night on Sunday night. Let's look at some mid-range players. So we start to look around. We've got Patrick Reed at 40s. Thomas Peters has been a lot of interest for, I know already. But there is a player that we both like here. We've already mentioned him. And that player is somebody who won this event at 20 under par with an absolutely incredible performance. I wrote an article earlier where I said the mercurial Danny Willett, which, of course, is a very nice way of saying the incredibly inconsistent Danny Willett. So I'm sure he prefers Mercurial as a nickname. But tell us why Willett is somebody you are interested in at 70-1 with Bet Rivers, a previous winner of this event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing that drew me, first of all, to him was that before the European Masters 2 weeks ago, he was interviewed, and the quote from that interview said, "The game is pretty close. I've played quite nice, just not had the results." Yeah, that week he went on to finish ninth at the European Masters. And he actually got off to a slow start in round one. He shot the second lowest score over the final three rounds. And it was only that slow opening round that kind of held him back from a finish that wasn't higher than ninth. So I think that was a really nice warm-up for Wentworth. A course where he's got a win in 2019 and a third place finish in 2016. What I really like about Danny, though, is that he can go toe-to-toe with the best. He's shown in the past that he can win against big names. In fact, he beat John Rahm. They were tied at the top of the leaderboard after three rounds here in 2019, and he outperformed John Rahm in the final round to win this event. So he's shown that he's not scared of those guys like Rory McIlroy and John Rahm. He can match up with them just as well in the heat of the battle. And I think at 70-1, Danny's a great bet this week. He ticks the course form box, and we know that he's proven in contention. So there's a lot to like about him. And he is inconsistent, I'll grant you that. But I think that the price more than makes up for that fact. And I think you're getting a lot of juice in that 70-1.
Couldn't agree more on this. See, the thing about Danny Willett is that when he won that major, every time he goes down the stretch in contention, you can just look at that. Imagine that green jacket behind the wardrobe door and think, well, I got through that one. What is this? And I do think since he won that, Duncan, that he's been what I would call a target player. I think, you know, the old Backstreet Open in the back of Beyond is not the sort of tournament that gets him motivated at all. I'm far more interested in him when it counts in big events. I think he gets up for them now. And I think he'll be so focused. And the game is so nearly there, isn't it? He's such an incredible iron player when his game's on. And there are tricky greens here, and they're very well bunkered, and I think he could well be firing at them. So if he drives it well, I think he will make a mockery of 70-1. But I will just throw one in there that's just 4 points shorter. Now, another major winner, Duncan, Justin Rose, a man who is now back from many years living in America, living actually at the Wentworth Estate. He's joined Sunningdale, the adjoining course, but I understand that he plays Wentworth regularly. And just hops over his front wall and onto probably the like 13 tees, something like that. Now, Rosie has not had a great year, but this time last year, he came here gunning for what he thought was the final Ryder Cup place at Pick. He knew he needed to go very close. He finished sixth. He wasn't playing well at the time. He made a lot of swing changes. I understand now he's starting to really kill it on these courses. So he's been playing Sunningdale, he's been playing Wentworth. We know he's a great player. I thought 66 was very, very big. When you think someone like Thomas Peters, Brandon Grace, Sergio, much shorter prices than Rosie with the course form from last year, the back class and the major win. You think 66 is I've got a fair shout this week?
I think that's got a very fair shout. I like him this week. There's traditional kind of British weather forecast, isn't there? And I know that Justin's been living abroad for a number of years, but, you know, he's a Brit. He's back here living, like you say. So he's used to the British conditions. And I think that the course form will stand him in good stead. And I think it's also worth pointing out that 66-1 with Bet Rivers is a best price. You know, it's a real standout price from Bet Rivers. So you're getting a bit of value there from the guys there. And I think that, yeah, it certainly give you a run for your money.
I do think there is so much juice around the 40, 50 to 1 to 80, 90 to 1 range this week. And with seven players to go, I would urge people. I just want to quickly go back to Billy Horschel, because one of the things I've got written down, especially with an American audience, is that I was there last year. And we think about Ryder Cups, don't we, and partisan crowds, and the Europeans always say the American fans boo. American fans always say the Europeans boo. But let me tell you, Billy Horschel was the most popular man in Wentworth last year. He was roared onto every tee and roared off, not just by West Ham fans. The guy has got an affinity. So don't worry for a second if you're on an American player that this is not the Ryder Cup. There's a very, very fair ton. In fact, the only people getting booed will be the Liv players. So don't worry about any American player this week on that score. I wanted to get that point across. He was the most popular man in Wentworth by a mile. Now, the Duncan Campbell bomb factory has been locked for a week. There were many disappointed people that you didn't seem to come up with your usual 25 bombs. But I'd like to think that with an event with a history of big prize winners, not as we've said, not since the Elves reboot, but certainly big prize places still, whether we can point people who want those few dollars each way with seven places to go at, whether we've got a few people at big prices that they can chuck a few dollars at.
Yeah, I would say that it was disappointing there was no show last week, because I gave our subscribers Francesco Laporta 200-1, and he was leading for a brief time during the final round in the European Tour last week, or the DP World Tour. He traded 5-2, as low as 5-2. So yeah, it was a shame there was no bomb factory last week, because I could have given you that one. But nonetheless, we move on. We move on to this week. And yeah, there's a couple of players I like this week. The first of which is Thorbjørn Olesen, who's available at around 125-1 mark at the time of recording. But he's actually one who doesn't have a good Wentworth record. He's one of the few selections I like this week that hasn't shown that he can do it around Wentworth. And it's surprising, because you know he's been around the tour for a long time, and you think that he would have been able to perform around Wentworth. But for whatever reason, he hasn't. And he's never bettered 27th. At Wentworth. Now, that's the bad news out of the way. The good news is that he was 22nd last week, and that was his first start since becoming a father once again. Understandably rusty, he opened up with a level par 71, and that could actually contain three double bogeys. His play over the next 3 days was fantastic. He was third, second, and third for greens in regulation over his final three rounds. Two-time winner in the UK, recently won the British Masters in the summer. And I think that with the nappy factor on his side, I think that he might well have a little bit of a run this week.
He's available at 125-1 for Bjørn Olesen. Now, you are staying Scandinavian for your second bomb, Duncan. One of those brothers who I have championed on these things, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I'm starting to get a bit annoyed by those Hodgkarts, because where has their form gone, Dunk? Should I hang in there this week with Nikolai?
You absolutely should hang in there with Nikolai Hodgkart. I was very surprised to see him priced up at the price that he is this week. I think he's 150-1 or 160-1, certainly above 100-1 anyway. And he has got a sneaky kind of chance this week. So he finished top 20 in his debut at Wentworth last year, where he really destroyed the back nine. He was minus 12 for the back nine in his four rounds last year, but he could only manage one over par for the front nine. Now, I know that the back nine at Wentworth is traditionally the scoring nine, but what I think that we'll see from Nikolai this year is that he will use that debut from last year, and he will go better on the front nine this time around, having had the experience from last year. The other thing I think to say about Nikolai is that when you look at his recent form, it doesn't actually look that great. But he has been posting some low rounds in amongst those, you know, poor results. And if you actually look at his last six rounds on paper, they read 68, 68, 64, 71, 73, 66. Now, I appreciate 71 and 73 aren't the best there. But take those out of the equation and you've got a guy who is shooting low scores, just albeit not consistently. Now, Granted, he's inconsistent and he is frustrating, but I think a bit like Danny Willett, you're getting enough in the price this week to warrant a little bit of a nibble at anything like 150 to 1 or more on a player who's won twice in his last 25 starts and is going to go on to be a superstar on the European Tour. So he's the one that I really like this week in the bomb factory.
160 to 1. He is one of those players at the moment who, when you bet him, you sort of, he's what I call a don't put the kettle on player, because he can go like 506 holes and you think, I've got to stay with it. I've got to keep watching the TV. I've got to keep looking at the laptop. So if I go and make a cup of coffee in the 5 minutes before I come back, he's suddenly disappeared again. And I'm suddenly having to ring round. What's happened? But yeah, I'm staying with the Hodge guards. They are going to be world superstars and major winners. The pair of
his driving was excellent last week. Yeah. And I think there's going to be a big performance coming soon, I think, from Nicolai. And whether it's this week or not, he might well save it for future weeks. But I certainly think it's worth consideration.
And of course, the way to make this game pay is to make the bookmakers pay for overreactions to a few what they regard as poor performances. So when those players who've been 33s, 40s suddenly go out to 150, I call it good player gone bad. That's what you want, to stay with them and keep loyal to them, because good players will remain good players. Now, Duncan, you are the bomb factory maestro, but I'm going to lob a slight grenade into the game now. With a man, I showed the hat earlier. Now, I'm going to tell you about a guy who last year shot two fantastic 67s here to finish 17th. His last two appearances on the DP World Tour, I don't know where Duncan's gone, just because I'm having the bet, but we'll carry on, see if we get him back. His last two appearances have been, he's back, a third place and a 23rd place. So he comes here in good form and he has excellent course form. It's the man in the hat, everyone's favourite Finnish golfer, certainly top three. It's Tapio Pukkanen. Now, this guy is 250 to 1 with Bet Rivers, and I think that is a massive price. I think he could easily sneak into that top seven. And I'll be there on Friday. I'll hand the hat back at the first tee. And I will wish him well for all of us at Bet Rivers, because we win. And it's always better if we win together, remember. So it is a little bit of a grenade into the bomb factory, but I do think Pukkanen is too big a price dump. Am I right, or am I clutching at straws?
I think he can get you in each way. I don't think he can win. And I say that purely on the basis of the way he played the final hole with the Czech Masters. Well, the last 2 years in a row, in fact. He had a great chance to win the Czech Masters 2 weeks ago when you guys were there. And he was woeful on the final hole. And that, for me, was a real red flag. And I certainly think he would struggle in contention against the big boys. But in saying that, you are right. It's a big, big price. And if we're going for each way value, I think he can certainly snare you a top seven. Maybe just not the win. If he does go on to win, you know, fantastic. But yeah, top seven is definitely available.
You're right. Both him and Gavin Green showed a streak of yellow running through them like Blackpool Rock, as we say in Britain. Now, you have one further big price bomb for us, Dunk. Let's hear what that is.
Yeah, I think this one kind of falls into the Tapio Pukkanen kind of mold, and that I'm not entirely sure he can win, but I do think he's a solid each way potential. I don't like him to win as much as, for example, an Olsson or a Hodgegaard. I don't think he's quite got that killer streak in him that maybe those guys do. But from an each-way perspective, I think he does. I think that he's got solid course form with 10th and 12th in the last 4 years. And that man is Marcus Kinholt. Fine run of form at the moment. He's placed inside the top 25 in three of his last five starts, including a third place in the UK at the Kazoo Classic a couple of weeks ago. Last time out in Switzerland, his stats were really encouraging. When he was 13th, strokes gained tee to green. He's a past winner at the British Masters, and that was played in some mixed weather conditions as well. Mm-hmm. And being a Scandinavian player, they tend to kind of go well in mixed weather. So I think there's a lot to like about Marcus as well. And like I said, I'm not sure he can quite get the job done, but certainly from an each-way play, I think he's a solid option.
Excellent. This really is a very exciting event. Now, do say to people, if you haven't wagered on the DP Tour, if you've purely stayed on the PGA Tour, of course, it's the greatest tour in the world. We're not saying it isn't. But this is the tournament for you because it's got everything. It's got a world-class field. It's got a world-class golf course. We've got the LIV angle, the needle between the players. We've got what usually produces, doesn't it, Dunk, a tight finish and an exciting finish on the back nine on Sunday. So it really is. You're going to be huge crowds. I'll be there myself on Friday. I will put some videos out. So go to Because We Win the Twitter. And is this one of the tournaments that you sit down and get the most excited about, Duncan, on the weekend?
As the coverage is great. Normally the DP World Tour doesn't have fantastic TV coverage like the PGA Tour. But this does generally have better TV coverage. So, yeah, settle in on Thursday, get a cup of tea, get a biscuit, and get the bets going. And this is it. This is the one to watch.
Oh, I cannot wait. So let's just quickly go through Neil's selections. Most likely winner, Rory, take the 5-1 with Bet Rivers. Those mid-range players like me were all over Danny Willett, the previous winner. He's 70-1. Duncan also likes Patrick Reed's chances at 40-1. And those bonds, Thorbjørn Olesen at 125-1. Nikolai Højgaard, we stay on the Højgaard train this week, 160s. And Marcus Kinnell, a British Masters winner, 150-1. I'm going to throw in Tyrrell Hatton at 25. It's far too big for me. And Danny Willett and Tiko Pulkkinen, the man in the hat at 250s. If he gets the place, you're on a very, very tasty win. So thank you, Duncan. We have been the double act, but I'm sure the full team will be back soon on For the Win. It's your number one golf betting podcast. Now, at Because We Win on Twitter, please do follow that. Bet Rivers Network as well on Twitter. You'll see all the handicappers from all the different sports, all the podcasts. Do subscribe to our YouTube, Bet Rivers Network. We're getting people joining all the time. And we say it every week, but tell us underneath in the comments what you think. What do you think about the LIV players? Do you think they've got a chance? And who do you think is going to win at Wentworth? So, Duncan, how can we get in touch with you on Twitter and tell us a little bit about Golf Betting Club and how we can get involved in that too?
Yeah, so on Twitter, you'll find us at Golf Betting Club. And then if you want to visit our website, golfbettingclub.com, you'll find a full preview of this week's event and all the other events that we focus on for the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. And if you need a bet in running, we post in-play blogs after each round for every PGA Tour and DP World Tour event. So you'll get our in-play blog after each round for this week's event.
Excellent. Right, Duncan, good luck this week, my friend. I hope if my bets don't win that yours do, although I hope mine win a lot more. So have a great week. Have a great week. I'll see you very soon, mate. And remember, folks, please gamble responsibly. Take care of yourselves and follow us at the Bet Rivers Network. Bet Rivers, it's your hometown sportsbook. We'll see you very, very soon for another For the Win, the number one golf betting podcast.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly For the Win on the Bet Rivers Network.